You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Get ready for a frenzy.
Bring them out, bring them out.
The Fantasy Frenzy.
What's up? Welcome into Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan. It is the Fantasy Frenzy on FNTSY Radio. Coming up for the next hour, myself, Corey Parson, All In Kid, Jake Seeley, and Matt Medica will take you through the world of sports, talk about some fantasy sports, get you some latest updates with some NFL stuff. Also, begin to take a look at the AFC version of Division Round Weekend, the two games that we have going on this upcoming weekend in the American Football Conference. Plus, we'll get back to this FSTA slow draft, take the next five players off the board, get you gentlemen to break them down. Matt Medica, good morning, my man. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's, another day closer to baseball, another day closer to the wonderful NFL weekend that's coming on up.
So, yeah, pitches and catches. When do pitches and catches report?
It's like February, middle of February, February 12th.
You ever go down to
Valentine's Day? It's Valentine's Day-ish. It's usually the day before Valentine's Day or the day after. That's what the single men can celebrate.
Oh, there you go. Good morning, All In Kid. Jake Seeley, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Celebrating Valentine's Day with your favorite baseball team. rough Valentine's Days, man.
There is always Mr. Jurgensen.
That's my... Anyway, so... Program on deck today. We'll get into that Sammy Watkins thing a little bit more, Matt, because I want you to give me... I just like listening to hear you talk about Sammy Watkins because it's never going
to
end.
You guys are really pushing the Sammy Watkins thing.
Because we're trying to get you to come off it, Matt.
Where am I getting him at? I mean, I don't know.
You said you would take him in seven. I wouldn't take him in seven.
I said, it depends. Who's going to be on the board at seven, what I need, where he's going to be. I mean, I don't know. If the Rams do franchise him, I got to think he's going to somehow get more usage. I don't see why they're going to do that when, they could fill other needs.
Jake, I said that the Rams may franchise him to keep him away from Gucci Garoppolo and the 49ers, but would you think a team would do something like that?
Look, why not franchise him if you had... Look, here's the thing, is people are forgetting this, too, is there's the floor that people have to spend, teams now have to spend in the NFL. People have forgotten about this. And you look at past years, and you look at some of the free agent signings, and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe the Jaguars overpaid, or I can't believe the Browns are overpaying or going after this guy. All that type of things. It's sometimes they have to be more aggressive. If you're the Rams and you have money and they have a decent amount in free agency, I mean, they're not just, like, kicking tires, like just anybody out there just to make up.
They're not
like,
the Bengals.
The Browns are going to have to do it. Yeah, they're for the Browns this year.
Yeah.
They have, like, $100 million or something like that. But if that's the point, just not the 49ers, keep him away from anybody else as your third wide receiver. He's going to be your best third wide receiver in possibly most of the league. It makes sense.
There you go right there. But we got a lot of time to talk about that. Right now it's a rumor, but we do hope that that does not happen. For file purposes, for fantasy owners, we do want to see him in a more prominent aerial attack. Obviously, you saw that he wasn't the primary target for Jared Goff. We don't really expect that to be changing anytime soon as that Rams team, for the most part, come back together exactly how they are. So that's how we'll start. We get that out the way right there as we begin. We want to talk about some of these coaching changes. Get ready for this AFC division round because should be a lot of good, fun, exciting action, even though most people are predicting blowouts. These games could be a little bit closer when you break them down and look at them. So we'll get into that, do that. So that would be a lot of fun. I want to talk about the FSWA, their Hall of Fame announcement yesterday. They've announced two new members going into their 2018 Hall of Fame class. So we'll talk about those people, their impact on the industry, break that down. So got a fun hour coming up. Don't forget, we always want you on the phone lines, 844-843-6879. I'll say that number again, 844-843-6879. I hear T.I. in the background. It must be Thursday. It's a frenzy on FNTSY Radio.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
844-843-6879. Phone lines, whatever you want to talk about, we got you covered right here on The Frenzy. I want to give a shout out, first of all, gave one to him in Roto Experts, but once again, want to give a shout out to Brad Evans for at Yahoo Noise on Twitter for his induction into the FSWA Hall of Fame. Oh, that's Mr. Sussman opening the door. I'm about to say, who opened the door?
Oh, and I thought somebody was.
I thought one of your hookups. I'm about to say, what's going on? What's happening? What's up with you? You know, on making it into the FSWA Hall of Fame, very prestigious honor for people in our industry. Matt Medica, I guess when you first started playing fantasy and getting into it, Brad was around and was doing this thing with Yahoo, right?
Yeah, Yahoo was the how I got in with baseball, say that. And I was reluctant to do so. Believe it or not. I was always a big baseball fan and stuff like that. But I always was at the impression that it was just too much time and stuff.
Yeah.
And I did love playing like the daily moves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really don't play in any daily leagues anymore. It's more like, you know, you set your lineup twice a week.
Yeah, you streamlined it. There you go, right there. Jake, you've been around the industry for a good bit and stuff like that. You ever had any interactions with Brad and work with Brad at any point and stuff like that?
No, just Twitter.
Oh, just Twitter. Oh, all right. It sounded like you don't like him the way you said it just now. I was like, no, I'm good. Oh, maybe.
No, just Twitter.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I mean, I've never seen him in person. I've never met him in person. Never talked to him in person. Never done a podcast or a video. I've just interacted on Twitter.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
I really have. Don't much. I don't have much to add to it.
No, me neither. I never met the homie either. I know he does a good job. And I see him do some work for college basketball, too. Shout out to him. Also going in, this class of the FSWA Hall of Fame is one Miss Stefania Bell. Now, Stefania has definitely created a mold for herself in the industry, working with RotoWire, doing the professional physical therapist thing. She's really where you – people first start playing fantasy and they're so much into the mainstream stuff, Matt. I think she just kind of was like became the voice of injury analysis at, you know, throughout her career at ESPN.
Yeah, no, solid job by her. You know, she had a nice big platform with ESPN as well. And, you know, I believe she's the first woman. Is that correct?
I think she might be very well the first female member of the FSWA Hall of Fame, which likely probably be one of the few as we go through FSWA. I'm quite sure the next crop of female talent will come up in this industry. Jake, Stefania Bell, injury analysis, very important to what we do for these games, and Stefania's been getting it done for a long time, a Bay Area native.
Yeah, jumped into it basically when it was a needed area and was the forefront of it for a while there. If you look at it at the beginning, she was like the source. And now there's other ones and we have inside injuries and everything like that. But she was the one that kicked things off and it's great to see for her too.
Yeah, no doubt. So shout out to her. Special connection that I have to Miss Bell is that you know me, Corey Parsons, fantasy executive. I am the Jackie Robinson of Tout Wars. The reason why I was able to get into Tout Wars is because Stefania Bell pulled out of Tout Wars, and then they gave me the call.
I like it.
From one legend to another.
I think you win it this year.
Pass it, Matt. I don't want to make the expectations too high. You know, I just know that I want to be in the draft, not the auction, because I'm scared that the auction.
Okay, that's fine.
I could get. I don't want to say.
Year, next
I could
year
get exposed. Auction. I don't want to say exposed,
okay,
but you know. I seen a dude. In the Tout Wars auction, leave with $62 on the table. That's very embarrassing.
I remember that.
And what's homeboy like, name? Scott Swaney.
Yeah, the Fantasy Sherpa.
Yeah, the Fantasy Sherpa.
I remember because he had that weird Fantasy Sherpa thing. But that's like, you know, I don't know. And he was able to. There was some weird move.
So you're telling me we're not trading places, Corey?
I don't want to go into one of the auctions, Jake. I want to stay in the draft. But you was in head to head.
No.
That's an auction.
Head to head is an auction. That's right. I'm not trading places. We should trade. Oh, because you want to be in the draft too, right?
I don't know if I can afford to come up to New York. That's why.
Yeah. So, I talked to Ronis. See, I know Ronis want to be in an auction.
Yeah, we got to keep the fantasy exec with the Roto style.
Yeah,
you know? We start on points as well.
Yeah, it's too much for me. Then after the draft comes, then my head may explode. So there you go, right there. But definitely want to take care of that piece of business. Giving a shout out to those people on this big accomplishment. Of course, you know the inaugural FSWA Hall of Famer was our own guy, the King Scott Engel.
The King Scott Engel, who's excited about the Olympics that are going to be in Seoul.
Jake, we had a situation with Scott this morning where we were talking about this thing is called Overwatch. You've heard of this, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Overwatch was like a thing, whatever. And we was I was asking like which
it's
team.
A big thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. I was asking which team was in first, and I think Scott said the team from Korea, from Seoul. And I was like, Seoul? Like, what is Seoul? And then Greg let us know that it was Seoul. So. The editor, the editor, and Hall of Famer Scott Engel. Also, so you into this Overwatch thing, huh, Jake?
Not to that level, but I know exactly. I've actually played it. My roommate plays it a lot.
Okay, cool. I never heard of it, Matt. We was talking about it downstairs this morning. Apparently, it's a big deal. They got the homie Chris Venture doing articles on it and all of that. And then the lady, I don't know, it's a young lady, a new talent on this very network. They bring it in. She's going to be on the BFFs today to talk about it.
Well, you should introduce yourself to that young lady and get yourself on.
Okay. Zareen T is her name. I never met her before. Is she coming in studio or is she going to be on the phone? If she's coming in studio, I'll shake her hand. Yeah. I wonder how much they're paying her.
You should ask Mr. Sussman.
Yeah, I wonder. I want to see her contract. Like, wait a minute. Darn it. How did you get that?
Yeah, isn't there a big controversy going on with all the money in the world thing? They had to do the reshoots. And Mark Wahlberg got like $1 million.
Yeah, and then the lady
Michelle
that did
Williams
it got like $100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, here's $1,000.
Yeah, that's a bad look right there. So I don't want to go down that foxhole.
In all honesty, she's much more talented than Mark.
Oh, really?
I think so.
You're not a Mark Wahlberg guy?
He's all right.
Okay.
I think he overshot his skis.
All right, so let's get ready to talk some NFL action. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh comes in this game 7-point favorite. Over on this one sits at 41 points. If you're looking at it from a standpoint, Jake, where you want to put a couple dollars on this game this weekend, which way would you go with that point spread and that total?
Which game? Sorry, I stopped paying attention to you for a second, and I looked at a tweet because I was already checked out of the conversation, so I missed the beginning of this one.
Well, that's good to know. I'll make sure I do that today when I'm listening on Target.
I had already moved on. I had nothing else to add, and it was something about work. So something about work.
It's all good. All right. Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, 7-point favorite. Pittsburgh Steelers, the home favorite, 7 points.
Yeah,
41 is the total. What do you think about this one? You taking Jacksonville to cover this?
I took Jacksonville to cover. Actually, for the Fantasy Pros contest, we do this every single week. I got 3 out of 4 last week. I took Jacksonville in this one. Not the fact that I think they can win, and especially what happened earlier this season. I just think I don't see the Steelers running away with this game unless Bortles turns into bad Bortles, and we still haven't seen the bad. Last week was pretty terrible, but I mean the rushing ability helps offset that. Unless he goes out and throws 3 picks, I think they'll be able to keep it close enough with that defense.
Artie Burns is the whole kid. I didn't know about that. What happened yesterday? This was a non-contact injury. But I like Pittsburgh. I don't know the full status on his health right now.
Yeah.
I like Pittsburgh. I don't think Bortles is going to be able to run like he did against Buffalo. I don't think Ben's throwing 5 picks again. And I think the Steelers, I think they're poised.
Yeah, but you think they cover?
I do think they cover. I think they can shut the run down. I think they can, what we saw from Bortles last week was unimpressive. I know he had that 1 month where he was all world.
Yeah.
But I like Pittsburgh at home. I'll lay the 7.5.
Like that. So you see that 7.5.
Mm-hmm. Right, isn't that 7.5?
I got it at 7 right here.
I like it even better at 7.
I'm about to say even better at 7, so there you go.
I don't
right
even
there.
Got a bar to 0.5 down.
So what do you think about the 41 total?
It's interesting. I don't really want to have to wager on the total. To be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a tough one. I hate betting unders, so I'd probably go over.
Do you worry, Jake, about the run defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers as they prepare for Leonard Fournette and the Jaguars? Obviously, Ryan Shazier was at practice yesterday, but more or less he's out there for a motivational type thing. Do you worry about Leonard Fournette taking advantage of this defense and really pounding them? Is that why you see Jacksonville able to hang close with this team?
I just think that's an opportunity for them. That's definitely been some place where you can attack the Steelers all year long, and obviously the loss of Shazier only compounds that. But, yeah, Leonard Fournette, as long as he's out there and 90%, he should be able to give good balance to this offense. And, again, Blake Bortles, I think, has played a little bit better than he did last week, and maybe if not. If he doesn't, this is going to be a very bad day, no matter what Leonard Fournette does.
I think they have to make him pass the ball. That's why I was screaming at the TV with the Bills. After a while, it became evident.
yeah.
he was going to look to run, and he really didn't want to throw the ball. Make him beat you with the pass.
Yeah, you think those runs this week were broken plays or they were designed runs for Blake Bortles?
Like
this weekend
me?
Against the Buffalo Bills when he had that 88 yards rushing, you think those were broken plays or you think they started putting design runs in the playbook, in the play calling once they realized?
I heard the question. I just didn't know if it was for me. That's what I was saying. I didn't hear who you were queuing up for that. Yeah. I think it was just mostly broken plays. It was just a bad day for Blake Bortles in the passing game.
Yeah, so they might struggle again this week. It's going to be interesting. I think that Pittsburgh is going to get the better advantage of them. I think they get about a 10-point victory in this one. Antonio Brown, healthy, was a full participant at practice yesterday. So a healthy AB. I understand the Jackson 5 and that tremendous secondary, but I just think it's a big, big spot right here for a team that barely got past the Buffalo Bills. Coming in near 80,000 terrible towels, Antonio Brown back on the field. I think a 10-point victory is in play for this one right here. When we get back on the other side, we'll break down another matchup in the AFC between the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots. That's your Saturday night special. We'll get ready to break that down right here on The Frenzy.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Looking at break, I was reading up on Overwatch, right? So apparently they had a pretty big night last night. They kind of broke the Twitch viewership records. I don't even know what Twitch is, but I know I got to send them a headshot in the bio. So I don't know what that means, y'all. I don't know if I'm going to be sitting up here playing Super Mario or whatever. But yeah, I was told to send them a headshot in the bio, Twitch.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
You have to get that done. Jake, you too.
Okay.
Silent.
I don't know what you're waiting for there.
No, I'm just saying. I'm reminding you, you got to send them. Because, you know, these things get overlooked at times. So I want everybody to be on the right page. I don't want any of us to get in trouble by Mr. DeFino. So, Overwatch. Does it come on again tonight, Overwatch? No? Anybody know?
I think she's got angle nose.
So we got three matches.
Triple header.
Don, can I get on here, Don Burns? Because you seem to know more about this than everybody else.
We're talking to Chris Venture right now, who's writing a few articles on it. And there were, I think, three or four matches yesterday, and there's going to be three or four matches today as well.
Okay. Then when does New York play?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I think that might be too much information.
They have the Wilpons on the New York team, so.
Do they?
That's not a good look.
They're probably not very good.
It's not a good look if the Wilpons own the New York team. It's probably going down the wrong path. They should sell the James.
They have to bring their own chairs and own controllers.
I know, right? They should sell a team to James Dolan. It's really be a mess then.
Yeah, how do we know people aren't going to like tank games? And,
I don't know. Apparently, you know,
there's a lot of money involved in that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
well, the lady
maybe
coming
certain somebody talks to a certain somebody.
Yeah, you never know
today's
how that
not
goes.
Your day.
Yeah, no, right. Have a seat, kiddo. We got you covered. Don't worry about it. Well, we're coming up on the BFF lady, Miss T, will be joining us, and then I guess she know all the information on that, and then they should probably ask her about her salary too. Tennessee Titans at New England Patriots this weekend. Pats are a 13.5 point favorite. It seems like every year the Pats have a division round game. Every year the Pats have a game where they're double-digit favorites at home going into it, and every year they just about cover it. So there you go right there. 47.5 is the total on this one. Matt, in order for the Tennessee Titans to get anywhere near playing this game deep into the fourth quarter, they are going to have to be dominant in the run game with Mr. Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you know, ride the beast, and hopefully Mariota can pull off some plays as well. Get a bounce here or there. I just hope that New England and Pittsburgh win. I want to see this game happen next week. It would be god-awful if by some miracle that it was Tennessee-Jacksonville.
Would you watch a Tennessee-Jacksonville AFC Championship game?
Of course I'd watch it.
How do you think the Ravens would do?
Yeah, it's football. People are still going to watch.
It's still the two. It didn't that mean they were the two best teams in the AFC. So
that's not our fault. Just not going to be as excited.
For one day.
For one day, that was it, huh? We got to get that Pittsburgh and New England rematch of the best football game that we saw this year, at least from the NFL standpoint. Jake, when you look at Marcus Mariota, is he still face down in the pit of misery? There you go. Marcus Mariota still laying down. Listen, in the last 2 weeks... The last 2 weeks, though, Jake.
No. 2 of the last 3 weeks. It wasn't the last two. It was weeks
16 and
15, and then, or well, week 16 of the season. Week 17 was terrible, and then the first round of the playoffs was okay.
All right, so 2 of the last 3 weeks, Mariota's got it done. Swaggerlicious Mariota. You know, I seen on NFL Network yesterday. They asked him about his the dude Tua, that did the freshman, that quarterback for Alabama from Hawaii. He was like, oh yeah, Tua's going to be a beast. Watch, I knew about this kid for a while. That's neither here nor there. But you still got him face down. 2 of the last 3 weeks, he has been swaggerlicious, make plays, get job done, Marcus Mariota, Jake. Now, I understand this is a tall task right here, but you got to admit, even though he's face down, he is trending in the right direction going into this matchup.
No, he's not. He had 200 yards and 2 touchdowns last week in that one game where he had the 200 yards. He had 0 touchdowns. So he's not trending in any direction. He's trending in, hey, I showed up for one decent game in the playoffs. Fact is, I'm taking the Patriots to cover because now the Patriots, just one easy thing. Look, DeMarco Murray, out. The one thing they struggle with, especially against running backs, is pass-catching running backs gave it the 3rd most yards, actually just 1 yard behind second place. So no DeMarco Murray. All you do is stop Derrick Henry and ask Marcus Mariota to beat you. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a long day.
I want the Patriots to lose.
I know. But I don't see it happening. And,
yeah, that's true, too. I'm so tired of New England in the AFC Championship game for like 15 years in a row.
Well, I think the Steelers could beat them this year.
I think
they should
beat them.
In
the regular season.
And I think they could beat them even in New England. So,
Matt, but how are you looking at this game? You taking the 13?
Yeah, I'm going Patriots and over. I'll lay the wood and all that stuff, and I just can't take Tennessee. I mean, come on.
All right, so
Rocky Marciano is coming back. He was practice player of the week.
I saw that. You know, I had a league with Rex Burkhead as my only one and done league where you could pick one Patriot. I picked Rex Burkhead. Pretty silly of me because Rex Burkhead can't seem to stay on the field. But if Rex Burkhead does play, I'll be the only person in the pool with him.
I mean, Deion Lewis had it. What a phenomenal season. When given the chance. I mean, the Burkhead's problem was he got hurt in the beginning of the season, hurt in the end of the season. But once they gave the ball to Deion Lewis and he became the back, I mean, he was just pretty damn impressive.
Jake, what do you think about Deion Lewis for 2018?
It's still the Patriots running back. I would love, like, Deion Lewis, I've always said, has the most talent out of all of them. But if Rex Burkhead is healthy next year, and now you're back into a mix where Mike Gillislee's maybe still hanging around, maybe they add another piece, and because they always like to have multitude of running backs, which has been proven for them to be the very smart thing to do because they've had injuries and they've had other people that can step up. It's just the fact that if you're heading into next season, and everybody is healthy, Deion Lewis is going to be at the top, but he's not going to be somebody I want to draft, who's probably where he's going to go. I mean, I could tell you at running back, with that assumption in mind, I rank Deion Lewis in a half-point PPR at RB 28.
Oh, okay. RB 28 inside the top
30. I know
he
could far succeed that if they get down to 2 running backs. If next year we're talking about the Patriots, and all of a sudden they reverse course, and it's Deion Lewis and James White, and that's it. Or maybe just to him and Rex Burkhead, and that's it. And then you could say you could feel a little better about it. But with 3 options and not knowing how they're going to use everybody when healthy, it's just something we have to deal with.
There you go.
I think Jimmy White's got to be concerned.
What's up? What's up? What's up, fellas?
I just want to address the same thing Matt said earlier. This is not velour. It's a I don't know why it looks that way. It's a regular sweater.
Regular, it really does look that way, though.
I see that now on camera. I don't know why, but it's not. And then the other question, yes, I did play Zelda Breath of the Wild all the way through.
Oh, okay. That's coming in.
Breath of the Wild.
It's news to me.
It's a new Zelda game.
Oh, it's a new one. All right. They just dropped it. A new one. So maybe they'll have teams playing that one, too. So maybe the Wolves.
No, that's not a game that you play teams.
Okay, so the Wolves can't get involved
with Overwatch. That. No. They do play Overwatch. They play League of Legends. They play Dota 2. And then sometimes they'll play Super Smash Brothers and Street Fighter.
All right. How much it cost to own one of these teams that the Wolves got to get involved? Like, How much it cost?
The Wilpons needs to be getting involved with Mike Moustakas.
Exactly. They need to worry about the Mets, not video games. I guess I better listen to. I guess I got to better tune into the BFFs to learn more about Overwatch and all. And I see nobody gonna ask Miss T about her salary on the BFFs.
I think you should stop asking. Probably,
too. I'm curious. Anyway, who is the best player in Tennessee Titan history? Like not
Eddie
a
George?
Houston Oiler.
Yeah, I would have said Eddie George. I mean. Oh. Wait.
Not a Houston Oilers.
Yeah, not a Houston Oilers. That's what we're talking Titans.
Yeah, Tennessee Titan.
I'm going to go Eddie George.
Who you say, Jake? Eddie George?
That's what I said at the same time. That's why Matt said, yeah, I was going to say that. We both said it around the same time.
I mean, Steve McNair had a nice,
Steve McNair's the best. Steve McNair's the best Tennessee Titan.
Eddie George was a beast, too. I mean,
Steve McNair. See, I don't like people sleep on Steve McNair. Steve McNair should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be, how you say that word? Posthumous? He should be a posthumous inductee. Why are y'all laughing at me?
I'm not trying to laugh in this situation.
I said this is the best. I'm saying the word the best way I can.
No, I hear you. I'm trying to say it myself. Yeah. I'm not saying it.
Posthumous inductee. No,
you're pretty much on point.
Thank you. He should be a posthumous inductee.
Now you're going off the
line. Now I missed it.
What are you talking about now?
Is it posthumous or phosphamous?
It's a P.
Posthumous inductee into the NFL Hall of Fame. Steve McNair had an MVP season. He was an inch away from being a Super Bowl champion. The dude stayed beat up his entire career. He's not a big numbers guy, but as far as a leader and a quarterback, Steve McNair should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. Steve McNair should be in Canton. Jake, do you disagree with that?
Yeah, when you look at his numbers, I kind of do.
I don't see why. Because he never had, like, no 4,000-yard seasons, no 30 touchdown passes. Like, do we have to judge out quarterbacks like that?
Well, no, you have to judge them on what they did compared to the other people. The fact is, he was a really good quarterback for a decent amount of time, but it's not like he was never the best in the league. He was never, the game-changing quarterback. It's just he was always really good, and I don't know that really good gets you into the Hall of Fame in my opinion.
He shared an MVP with Peyton Manning. He did. He was a
one season.
He was an excellent fantasy quarterback.
Now we're doing the Terrell Davis thing.
Now, if Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame, Steve McNair should be in the Hall of Fame. That's the truth, right there.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. Kurt Warner's in the Hall of Fame, homeboy.
Yeah, Kurt Warner definitely deserves the one than Steve McNair.
Because he got that Super Bowl championship. Because he got that Super Bowl.
Steve McNair's just not. Look, Steve McNair, what is it, like the career high of 3,400 yards, maybe? Through career high, maybe was it 20, 25 touchdowns? He's really good. He led the team. He was valuable, definitely valuable. That's why he was in it. But he's just not. He's not a, like, it's not a career, or I said, an all-time best.
Mm. But, I mean, I think with the NFL, you got to judge it differently, too, because the careers are so short.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. McNair was a warrior. I'll put that, but yeah. I don't know.
I remember Steve McNair, when he was in college at Alcorn State, they used to play his games on BET2. It's like, I never knew they had a second channel, but they made one just to play Steve McNair games at Alcorn State. McNair would like throw for 400 yards and run for 200. But when he got to the NFL, became more efficient. I think it should be in the Hall. We come back, we turn the page, start to get ready for some baseball. Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day. Looking to pull up the results from the FSTA slow draft that's going on, the industry's first baseball draft of the year. So we've been going over about five players a day, getting these guys' thoughts as we try to turn the page and get back into baseball. since they doing it on SiriusXM, as I was told by you, told on Twitter by some trolls.
I think this was a horrible job doing the slow draft.
Why you think that, Matt?
Why not have a show with everybody doing it? You know, I don't know. You need to do a slow draft? That was really, you know.
Normally they do
it. Isn't that what kicked off the FSTA?
Yeah, normally they do it at the convention. It'd be like the first thing. It'd be like the first night of the convention. They'll come in there. They'll get the experts, 12 or 15. I think one year it was 14. And how many is it this year?
I think it's 14.
It's a 14-team league, which does nothing for nobody. Yeah, and they normally do it this way. And then this year, maybe we should ask. You said you emailed Steve Gardner. Can you ask Steve Gardner why it's different this year?
It's not Steve Gardner.
Oh, it's not.
This is FSTA.
Steve Gardner's labor. Sorry. I don't know. These days, I'm in tout wars. That's all
I'm
I
in
know.
Tout wars.
That's it. I'm not in none
of
these.
We already got our draft date for that.
I didn't. Wait, you did already? Maybe I haven't been invited back. maybe I'm not in tout wars.
Labor.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you've been, what do you call it?
I know. I've been usurped. They put a Stefania Bell back in there.
We're drafting the day before Valentine's Day, February 13th.
We need to get on this tout wars thing, Corey.
We got to start working on it already, man.
No, we got to know if you're back in or not. I don't know.
No, they're going to send me something. They need me. They need me.
I don't know. Jake's getting...
Oh, yeah. Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
And then how come you're not on the email, though?
No, that Jake there got the email from. That was about labor.
Yeah.
I was trying to get
it. Oh, you were trying to get me again. Like, I was getting nervous. They Tout Wars needs diversity and inclusion, so I'm going to make it again. I'll make the cut. We left off yesterday with
Yeah, they do need subpar players.
And all the kids took a shot. I'm going to call in on Target today and talk trash.
Did you get my link for you?
Yes, Posthumous? I did. Posthumous. I still can't say it.
I said it like three times on the...
Posthumous.
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 No. Say chew like you're chewing. Yeah. Posthumous.
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 There you go. There you go.
Nice job. I'm getting it, y'all. After Giancarlo Stanton, let me read off the top 10 players to go off the board for you. Mike Trout, Jose Altuve, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Trey Turner. Then we got Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant, Mookie Betts, Charlie Blackmon. Then the big man, Giancarlo Stanton. Then the back end of round number one, the final four picks are Carlos Correa, Joey Votto, Clayton Kershaw, and Max Scherzer. Matt Medica, we see our first two pitchers go off the board to close round one with Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer. Do you believe that those are the top two pitchers in fantasy baseball?
I think Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball, but I don't know if I'm taking him in the first round. I just back injury consecutive seasons, 30 years old. I'm not saying he's not the best. I'm not saying he can't earn it. Even with 175 innings, I'm just probably going to go a different route. It's nice to see how in the industry drafts it is starting to transition more to more pitching. It used to be something that they would, you know, just go heavy hitting. But I think even with baseball, we do this with football constantly. We concentrate on the first round, first and second round. And I think this season we need to go a little deeper and show to people where you win drafts.
And where's that at?
It's more so in the later rounds, but you're going to make key picks from, say, rounds 3 to 5, too.
Okay.
The first five rounds, as within football, is your foundation rounds and how you build that foundation. So,
Jake, what do you think? You more traditional, where you get your hat, you get your batters up front first, put together a nice. Why is he laughing?
Because I'm looking at the chat. I'm actually interacting with the chat for the first time ever, and they keep going on about the sweater. That's got shoulder pads. Ron Caffey, he wins. He says, "Does Melody Griffith know that I'm wearing a sweater?"
So I wasn't crazy when I thought it was velvet. I mean.
The people like the sweater. They're digging all in sweater.
I understand. I'm not wearing it again. It doesn't look like this in real life. I never know what they're going to look like when I, you know, get on camera because of the different coloration. The pads, this area up here definitely looks a lot more pronounced than it does in real life. But hey, you know what? You find these things out. Thanks, everybody. I'll get my fashion advice from now on from you guys. Ashton wash shoulder pads.
It would have been great if, like, after the break, Jake took the sweater off and he was wearing, like, one of those guinea tees and stuff.
You're like, all right, well.
Yeah, bust out. I got hit, like, the other knee.
Oh, it do look different. See, I'm looking at it on the TV in the studio.
But
when I
different.
Look at it on the YouTube stream, it does look different. It's like a Gucci joint. It got, like, little
it
things.
Does look
it
totally
does look
different.
Like a Gucci. Yeah, it looks like, all right, so there you go.
So anyway, no.
Taking pictures,
I told
yes.
you this the other day. to answer your question, I don't take pitchers until about the fifth round unless somebody really slides. Like last year in labor, which was the year that I won, I didn't take a pitcher until the sixth round. And the year before that, I didn't take one until the fifth round when I think I finished like fourth or fifth. And it's just, I just wait because I want to build in my core. And to what we're talking about is there's that susceptibility of any of these guys getting hurt. Matt's brought up the point multitude of times, especially on Twitter, about that we just don't have pitchers going over 200 innings anymore these days. And if you're not going over 200 innings, you're not worth being a first or second round pick.
But that said, I do think the elite pitchers are priced correctly.
Okay.
I really
Who
do
are the elite pitchers?
Well, what you're seeing here, there's guys that – there's a handful of guys that consistently get that 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. You got Kluber. You got Scherzer. I mean, Sale. Clayton Kershaw, up until the last 2 years, was doing that. But even with 175 innings, he's still putting up numbers that are – pretty price worthy. So if you're going to get 175 innings, you're going to throw like a 210 ERA and strike out, you know, 200 batters or close to it. That's in today's market. I'll take that.
So the criteria
I'm
for.
I'm just more worried that the back injury is going to become more severe.
So the criteria for a fantasy ace is over 200 innings.
Well, it used to be like 220.
Okay.
Now to me, it's 200.
How many strikeouts?
You want to shoot for 200, in my opinion.
What are you looking at ERA-wise for a fantasy ace?
Well, I mean, the ERA has to be... I don't really like ever projected anyone besides Clayton Kershaw under an ERA of 3. Yes, there are going to be other pitchers that do get ERAs under 3. Some we have an idea of, but you can't bank on that all the time. And even like even if you get a 3.23 ERA and you get the 200 strikeouts and 200 innings, I would sign off on that every day of the week. So, I mean, you definitely want to have a circa 3 ERA, but I think more importantly, if it's 3.20, even 3.30, and I get the strikeouts in the innings, I'm happy.
Jake, when you start to get ready for baseball, do your drafts, labor, and stuff like that, that's less than a month for you now. Well, it's about a month away for you now. Do you do, like, the category counts where you look back at last year and say, okay, it takes this to win this category, it takes this number to win this category, it takes this number to win this category, and are you constantly thinking about that as you're drafting, or are you just like, you know what, let me get the best players and the numbers to take care of themselves?
You have to. The fact is, I usually used to do like a 3-year average just because you'll get, you know, the differences of any given year. You could have a fluctuation go one way or the other. But I always weight last year more heavily than the first 2 years in the calculation, especially if you look at last season. You have to at this point. If you're not understanding that finding a 20 home run hitter is easy to do nowadays and what it really means for the rest of your team, then you're making a mistake. If you're not doing what Matt's saying and understanding, like he tweeted about Otani and the fact that people are worried about only getting 160 innings, but it's the quality of those 160 innings, which are much better than the quality of somebody who might throw 190 and hurt your whip or not get your wins anyway. So you have to factor all these things in with the way that baseball has changed. And the part of the problem is it sounds like it's going to be fantasy related, but my other like kind of issue-ish with Jay Bruce, it's not just the fact that he's a 230 hitter, hits 30 home runs, and I just don't see it's a great fit for the Mets. Is you could even liken it to fantasies. You could find those guys anywhere nowadays. Like, if you don't hit 40 home runs and you have a terrible average, you're not very useful. If you're only hitting 25 and you have a terrible average, you're basically not even on a fantasy team these days.
So here's a question I got for you. Now, if you were in, say, a league where you didn't have any trading and stuff like that, would you be more willing to pay up for an ace, like an elite ace? I'm not just talking somebody that maybe did it once, but a guy that's done it consistently in a draft instead of waiting to, say, the fifth or sixth round when pretty much the market's going to push it up where other people are taking pitching as well.
No, I would actually – I stay on the same page because to talk about labor last year, what I actually traded away was pitching because I had so many late-round pitchers that hit for me. And that's not going to happen every single year. You know, I was high on Keuchel last year, and yes, he missed some time, but there was like a lot of pitchers that I had on my team that I was trading away from a position of strength in a trade. So if I didn't trade, I would have been in a great shape anyway. And actually, the only industry league where I did go pitching early was Syndergaard and Bumgarner because I had the last pick of the first round and a 15-teamer. And they were both there. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'll go heads up over everybody else, have the best number 1-2 combination, and see how that goes. And obviously, that ruined my entire league because both of them got hurt. And obviously, you know, that's a off situation if both of them get hurt. But I'm still not going to invest.
And here's one more question. I want to get your opinion on this. So I kind of had this with Jeff Zimmerman of Fangraphs. closures are just god-awful this year. It really is horrific how bad that situation is. Now, Kelly Jansen, to me right now, is the Clayton Kershaw of a couple of years ago of closers. Would you pay, say, a late third-round pick to get that advantage of a Kenley Jansen?
That's where, yes, over the past three-ish years, I started arguing for the elite closers, but the elite closers that bring strikeouts. Because if you talk about Chapman, Jansen, and go down the list of those guys, the one thing people forget is it's not that you're just getting the saves. It's not just getting you're getting a great ERA and the great whip. The strikeouts gives you like a half of a starting pitcher, and people seem to forget that. When you're getting a closer with 90 to 100 strikeouts, that those extra 30, 40 strikeouts is like, hey, a free starter, half of a free starter.
There you go right there. It's good fantasy baseball talk to wet your whistle since they doing it on SiriusXM. We doing it now, too, and we're going to do it better.
Oh, Frenzy. Definitely do it better.
Yes, we'll definitely do it better. It's Frenzy on FNTSY.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
I need to get on air, Don Burns. I need on air, Don Burns, ready. We'll go to Matt first, though. Matt, what happened yesterday with the Garrett Cole? Supposed to be a Houston Astro, supposed to be a Yankee, then supposed to be an Astro, and now he's still paying for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was got all excited that the hot stove was finally starting to heat up, but unfortunately, nothing came to fruition. I've been under the assumption he's probably going to go to the Yankees. I'm happy to see the Astros stepping in. I much prefer Houston. They seem to really have an idea what they're doing with pitchers. I think Garrett Cole is an arm that's priced really well in drafts this year. He's,
Will his value go up if he's traded to Houston or the Yankees?
Oh, perception-wise, I think he will, even leaving the National League and PNC Park. I think it will, based on he's been pitching for the best team in baseball. Derek Carty pointed out that the strikeouts, K percentage, better in Minute Maid than PNC, and it's got a lot to do with the altitude. That's from a DFS perspective. So I'm already have quite a few shares of Mr. Cole, maybe one too many, but I would like to see him there. I think it's Jake's take on that, see what he thinks.
Oh, well, there you go. Go ahead. You can handle that question too, Jake.
So, sorry, I was telling Ron that. Look, no, Ron, you're not blocked. Everybody's still going on. I'm going to find something to wear tomorrow. I'm going digging in the old boxes tomorrow. I'll let you know. It's going to be even worse tomorrow. Now I'm finding something. Now I'm taking this to a whole other level tomorrow. So we'll see on that. I thought it was just amusing yesterday with the coaching reports and this report and everything. Just like yesterday was just throw out a news story, pretend it's real, and then get debunked an hour later. But
yeah, no.
I actually thought he was good. I thought he was going to get way overdrafted with that movie of yesterday because of the success Verlander had, because of the appeal of pitching for the World Series champions and all that type of stuff. So I'm not at high just because of where he's going to be pitching for it comes to hitters. I know you have the strikeout rate, but his strikeout rate has been dipping for the past 3 years. And I know that he can get the boost back, but I think that the lineups that he'll be facing, not to mention you just look at his ability to pitch in a park like that versus PNC, I think his numbers would actually be even, if anything.
Yeah, well, one thing I will say is I like the road teams, the road parks, except for Globe Life, Ballpark at Arlington, whatever the hell you want to call it. And the AL Central is, going to be pretty bad this year.
All right.
You got Cleveland, who's the top dog there.
And then everybody else stinks.
I think his numbers would be very similar. But that's where I'm saying I think he's going to be over. I think people are going to vault him about 20 to 30 ADP spots by that trade if it does happen, where I just think he should just be where he should be.
Hey, that's good baseball talk right there. Don Burns, you seen this rec league team in Ohio that have, on the back of their jersey.
The racist rec team?
Yeah. They got the crazy names on the back of their jersey, Don Burns.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram. I didn't know what that was at first, though.
Yeah, now it's a rec league team in Ohio where I don't want to repeat some of the things,
I don't think you can.
No, I know you can, but
I mean, there's a lot that you can.
Well, you can you can work. I'm not gonna go down there, yeah, but I'm not gonna go down that path. Yo, you coach basketball and stuff like that, Don Burns. Can you pull your team off the court if that offends you, and will you take a forfeit, or does the other team take the forfeit?
No, I would have no problem taking my team off of the court. That would be my choice as the coach, and seeing some of that, I didn't know what it was, but now that I know what it was, yeah, I'd have no problem with doing that.
I didn't see this, but I would picture Don Burns as a Scott Skiles type coach.
Oh, really? You think Don Burns is Scott Skiles?
No, I'm going to like a type.
Yeah, Scott Skiles type.
Fiery.
Yeah. Don Burns, you yell at the kids?
I don't. The only time I yell at the kids is when they talk back to the refs. Okay. I tell them to yell at me instead of the refs.
Okay.
That's you want smart. The refs on your side.
That's smart. That
I tell that to the parents, too. Yeah. I'm like, listen.
Don Burns, you need a kid like Draymond Green on your team.
He's a Danny Almonte of CYO basketball.
Yeah, just Don Burns, you need like a kid that like got a nasty attitude that you can't control.
I do have one of those kids.
Really?
I still put him in, though, because those kids don't care what happens in the game, what's going on, what the score is. And they're sometimes useful.
Oh, okay, good. A goon, a hooligan. Yes, our YouTubers.
Have you ever sent the goon out there, Don Burns?
I have.
Okay.
Don Burns looking to file somebody 13-year-old son have a broken arm because Don Burns got somebody out there.
Don't call the body snatcher for nothing.
All right, good times, everybody. Thanks for rocking with us. Don't forget the Fantasy BFFs coming up next. They're going to have Miss T on so we can ask her about Overwatch. 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you come back. On Target Fantasy, that's Jake, Joe, and Chris Meany.